all the games I used to play in my younger, wilder days. The game of clubs and tees, it never crossed my mind.
Nicely, how we doing?
Model, the model maniac.
How are we? It's been a day for both of us, hasn't it?
We've had a day, sir. Had a day. Internet issues, power issues, storms, 100 degree heat. I don't know what's going on, man. I feel like I'm in a Predator movie over here.
I know. Hopefully we can wrap this up before it gets dark over here, so I can, you know, go get the guns and ammo.
Just be ready. You never know. Thanks for coming on tonight, man. Kind of let folks get in here. Welcome into the Turn Fancy Golf Pod. I am Joe Nicely. AP's off tonight, but we got our good friend Byron Lindekue stepping in, filling his shoes. We love Byron, and he's been kind enough to join us several times this year. So thanks for hopping on, man. We're gonna dive into the Scottish Open really soon. Tell me a little bit about the John Deere Classic, man. I know we had boots on the ground, roto baller boots on the ground at the Midwestern Masters last week. So tell me a little bit about that experience.
It was awesome. I drove my 3 hours out there and then walked the first nine with Morgan Hoffman. He was playing with Kevin Streelman. And Hoffman does not hit it very far, but he hits it super straight. I don't think I saw him miss a single fairway. He flights his ball so nicely. And I mean, he's just come back from that muscular dystrophy. So he's only going to go up from here. I think if he can figure out his deal, that's going to be amazing. While I was walking with them, I made buddies with Kevin Streelman's brother, Jimmy. And turns out Streelman made an ace on, I think, hole number 13 or 12. Just one of the casualest aces I've ever seen in my life. I wasn't even sure. Everyone was like cheering, but it sounded like just a really good shot. We weren't even sure if it went in because it's like 210 yards. And I couldn't quite see if the ball went in or not. Turns out it went in. Streelman just another day in the office for the Streels and just carried on doing his thing. And then Jimmy landed up buying me a beer courtesy of Kevin. So that was nice of him. And then, jumped onto the big guys, and I walked with Christian Bezaidenhout for a while, and he was playing with, I can't remember who, but I managed to link up with his personal trainer, chatted to him a bit, and, you know, chatted to him about how Bezzy's driving distance isn't quite up there, and they're very aware of that, but it just doesn't seem like they want to push the needle too much because he doesn't hit it anywhere close to far enough right now to try and get extra distance. I think the magic number is like 305 that you want to carry, and you'd have to gain like 22 yards in carry just to hit further. So he's content just kind of playing safe and passive. And then I walked with Denny McCarthy and Emiliano Grillo for the back nine of the tournament. And Grillo is just a ball striker, man. That guy is fun to watch hit a golf ball. He was just piping it around there, drivers, irons, all of that. And then the round the green game, as the stats and real life witnessing matched up perfectly. He lost the tournament on that same par three. Kevin Streelman made a hole in one on, couldn't get up and down, hit a really good flop shot, but couldn't make the putt. And then on that drivable par four, he hit a fantastic drive and just got caught in that left-hand bunker, left it in the bunker kind of thing. Chipped it past the hole, missed the putt, made a five when he could have made a birdie there too. So just some small things that you don't really pick up when you're watching on TV, but it was a great time. Crowds weren't as big as I expected, but it was awesome. It was a great experience.
That's great, man. Glad you got to do that. And it's, you know, a lot of people were kind of down on the John Deere last week due to the field, but I mean, that's a great example of why, you know, having tournaments all over the country are important. And so different people can go out and experience it. And really glad you got to do that, man. JT Poston with the win. Any takeaways from Poston? Came in with fire form, just kind of running really hot and rode that momentum to a wire-to-wire victory. Really impressive second win of his career. So any thoughts on JT Poston or takeaways kind of from the tournament overall?
Yeah, I mean, I never really walked with him much. I can't tell you anything firsthand, but from what I understand, from what JT, just watching him, is his demeanor is so it's that Harris English. It's, you know, got zero emotion, kind of just keeping everything even keel, just making sure you manage the ups and the ups and the downs just the same. And then you see his post-round interviews, and he's like crying and thanking everyone and just like super emotional. So he managed his emotions so well. And I think that was the most impressive part of being at the top of the wire to wire, Joe, is tough to do.
Extremely tough. I'll
always go back to my very first article I wrote for Rotor Baller. I had Daniel Berger with a 5-shot lead. He was pretty much wire to wire outside of the first day, I guess. He was 1 shot back of the lead.
Honda, right?
Yeah, and he blew it. So, you know, it's so easy to just let that moment catch up with you. He never. He just kind of just kept plodding along, you know, looking like he was sulking all the way around the course, but just on fire, man. Beautiful golf.
Yeah. Didn't really feel like anybody made a real legit run at him Sunday. Our boy Stallings was right there, man. Missed out on a trip to the Open, which AP and I were just heartbroken over. But really nice tournament from Stallings. But yeah, man, JT Poston, hats off to him. I think he's a really streaky guy from a DFS perspective, betting perspective. I think he's one of those guys that you do kind of want to hop on the wagon when things get going a little bit with him. You know, there are guys that we don't want to kind of follow the chalk. But I think Poston's one of those guys that is so streaky. When he starts to kind of show a little bit of form, just buckle up and hop on for a little while. But hats off to him. Kind of a stark contrast between last week's event and this week's event. We're going to be talking about the Genesis Scottish Open, co-sanctioned event between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. So tons of great players from both of those tours in this field, and an absolutely elite field. I believe 8 of the top 10 OWGR players are playing this week, like 16 or 17 of the top 20. So we're getting kind of the best of the best this week. Rory's really the only one that kind of pops out as not teeing it up. Obviously, we got the Open at St. Andrews next week, so these guys are prepping for that with some Lynx golf, and they're going to the Renaissance Club again. Fourth consecutive year that the Scottish Open will be held at the Renaissance Club. It's Tom Doak design, 7,293 yards, fescue greens, which is kind of interesting. But any thoughts on the golf course, Byron? I've kind of heard people go back and forth about whether it's a true Lynx course. Some people are kind of calling it Lynx-like, Lynx style. So any thoughts or takeaways from the Renaissance Club?
Obviously, I'm a big numbers guy and kind of just took all the guys that have got the top course history at this event, because we don't really have really good stats to kind of figure things out. And I just took those, I took the top 25 guys and just took their average of all the different stats you can get. And the three stats that kicked out as the highest average that would kind of correlate with success at this course is distance, par five scoring, and birdie or better percentages. And those three things kind of make a lot of sense when you look at what this kind of course is. It's very long. There's some five par threes, I think. I think four of them are outside of 200 yards. The four par fives are very lengthy. And, you know, when the wind blows, I think you're going to need that length to kind of combat, you know, those headwinds and side winds, and can kind of drill those three irons and two irons down the fairway when you need to. And then obviously these guys have gone super low here, so you got to be able to make birdies and got to roll the putts in, hit the irons close, and you know it's going to require a good test of golf this week.
Yeah, I think kind of the winning scores are a unique reflection of the different capabilities, different ways this golf course can play. Bernt Weisberger won here at 22 under back in 2019. Then we saw Aaron Rye win here at 11 under in 2020. So a pretty stark difference there between those two scores. And then last year, Minwoo Lee at 18 under. So I think a lot of the scoring is going to kind of boil down to conditions, which is what we see from a lot of these kind of seaside, you know, coastal links courses. A lot of it's going to depend on how the wind kind of shakes out and the weather shakes out. That's always something we'll recommend you keep an eye on kind of as the week progresses. Keep an eye out on those possible tee time advantages. I hadn't had a chance to dig in far enough to kind of see how that's shaping up yet. If you have, chime in, Byron. But I hadn't really seen any huge advantage, you know, huge differences in the tee times as far as that goes this week. But yes, it's something we'll keep an eye on. But let's dig into the DraftKings slate, man. Let's just hit this thing and get going. It's a really fun field, really unique and diverse field. A lot of Euro Tour guys on here. We're going to dig in. I think there's some pretty interesting buy low spots on some kind of DP World Tour regulars that maybe are going a little bit underpriced this week. But let's start the top of the board with the big dogs. Two players above 11K this week, Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm. And two more players above 10K. That's JT and the fresh major winner, Matthew Fitzpatrick, teeing it up for the first time since that huge win at Brookline. Give me your thoughts on the top of the board, man. It's a very deep field, a very deep salary scale. Do you think you'll be going up here? And if so, who do you like?
All right, I'm back. Sorry. My bad.
All right, you're back. I told you this show was going to be, wild, man. There's just been too much going on today.
Apologies, people. I'm on a hotspot on my phone right now because the internet's been down all afternoon. So this is how it's going. I am a big fan of Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, and John Rahm. I think they're all going to play fantastic golf here. And we are a big fan of John Rahm at a course like this where it's long. I don't think I want to get on John when we've got wedges in our hands. But when you want to take advantage of par fives, John Rahm's your guy. And he's been playing really, really solid golf. You know, he's kind of come back again recently. You know, he was disappearing for a while there, but I think he was on those courses that kind of really highlighted that he's got that major weakness with the wedges there, turning putting contests into, you know, situations that he got frustrated at. But it's going to be so difficult, Joe, at the top of the board. Well, I guess I have a question for you. Like, how are we going to differentiate ourselves here in a field that's so stacked? How do you, all of these guys can win, any of them can win. How are we going to go about making decisions for guys you want to pick on?
Well, I think an interesting kind of strategy to take this week is just completely fade the top of the board. As scary as that is, but it's this tournament, this event actually shapes up really nice to do that. Anytime you got possibilities of weather, crazy things can happen in Lynx golf. We got a major championship coming up next week. You know, how much are these guys at the top focused on actually winning this one versus preparing for the Open next week? So, I mean, I think kind of a unique strategy is just completely fade these guys. You know, it's scary when you start talking about Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, JT, and an on fire Matty Fitz, kind of in his comfort zone environment. I mean, there's a lot of win equity up here. Without doubt, but yeah, I mean that's something I'm I'm thinking about. I hadn't made that decision yet, but I think that's kind of a unique way you can attack this slate, just by dropping down, maybe starting in the nines. And let's talk about the nines a little bit, man. Xander Schauffele coming off a big win. I feel like it was a big momentum building win at the Travelers. I think we all expect him to play really well next week. Patrick Cantlay, who's still kind of trying to find his way in the majors. A really, really weird final round at Travelers for Patrick Cantlay. And then Morikawa, defending Open champion. I think he would even admit not kind of been in his best form lately, although he still led the U.S. Open through 36 holes and managed the top five, which is kind of scary. Then we got Willie Z, who kind of is having the tough luck in majors this year. Sam Burns, who's played well. Cameron Smith, who I know you always love. And Hideki. So dive into this 9K range a little bit, Byron. What are your thoughts on these guys? Obviously, terrific players. You know, you can make arguments about the fit for some of these guys on a link-style golf course. But give me your thoughts on the 9Ks, man.
Yeah. I'm going to start eliminating people, and I'm going to start with Colin Morikawa, because I know you and I both believe that when the weather gets a little frisky, when the wind blows,
we never play him in the wind. Fall over.
Yeah. And I think from what we know, it's just going to be howling out there. You know, they're playing on the coastline in Europe. You know, I think he got so lucky at that Open. I don't know if he's ever going to win another Open again if he plays the way he does in the current situation, you know, where he cannot play that well and win. Whereas I think in this range, you're going to look for some guys that have got some really elite short game, because they all have, you know, pretty solid ball striking in this department. That's what they're doing up here. But who's going to be able to make those 10-foot putts in cross breezes while you're staring the ocean down? Who's going to be able to, you know, get out of a pot bunker just real difficulty? And I think Cam Smith is obviously one of those guys. Hideki is one of those guys. And Canty is definitely one of those guys too. I think they have, and Xander, you know, but I mean, it's so difficult to pick. But if I were to pick my favorite two in this range, it's definitely Cam Smith. I just think he's the most explosive player. He leads the field in par five scoring. He leads the field in birdie or better percentages. He's also the best short game player in the field. So I feel like at a course that you're not going to get penalized that much off the tee, you know, relatively speaking, you know, you're still going to hit yourself into some fescue, but he's going to get away with a lot more errant shots here. And then, you know, I like Patrick too, because I think he's going to be one of the lesser owned guys. He's got a weird stigma after that Sunday, like you said.
Yeah.
But he's got short game and he's got length and he's got it all. So I really like him too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has the tools to play well in this environment and well on links golf courses in general. We know Xander does, has shown the ability to adapt kind of to any type of golf course. The bigger the situation, the better for him. So, you know, I feel a lot of people are probably going to flock towards Xander in this range, maybe trying to save some money, you know, from the top guys. Willie Z is interesting. Not a ton of links experience, but played pretty well in this event last year. So, you know, ball striking is always king. These great ball strikers seem to find a way through the wind a lot of times. And as far as kind of flighting their ball through this, you know, the breezes and kind of crazy conditions. So, I mean, I think you can definitely give Willie Z a look here as kind of a pivot in the 9K range. But yeah, I mean, my favorite's probably Xander, and Cam, just for the reason you mentioned on Cam. And it feels like Xander's just a super solid option always. But his ownership's probably going to reflect that. Let's go into the 8Ks, man. Kind of give me your thoughts on some of these guys, some interesting players down here. We start to see, a little bit of the international European DP World Tour flavor. As we get into the eights and sevens, Ryan Fox at 8,500 is a guy that it seems like we're hearing a lot about this week. He's been on fire on the DP World Tour. We've seen him a couple times in majors this year in the U.S., but he's kind of really been getting things done in Europe. So a lot of people like him this week. The track record at this golf course isn't great. But the form certainly is, and he can handle links golf courses. Jordan Spieth, we know his Open Championship record. I don't know where the form is with him. And then we got Neiman, who's playing well. Tommy Fleetwood, it's been a big bounce back year for him. He's a player I've touched on in a couple of articles already this week. He's played really well on this golf course. Runner-up finish a couple of years ago, so give me your thoughts on those guys and any other players you might like in the 8K range, Byron.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you come to a situation like Lynx Golf, I think there's really not that many better players when they're playing their best than Jordan Spieth. Yeah. He is one of the best guys to really embrace that feel and shot shape and creativity when it comes to, you know, hitting the shot that's required at that particular moment that you don't necessarily practice on the range. I think he's just got that natural ability to just hit whatever shot's necessary. And he's obviously got that fantastic short game around the greens. The putting is obviously still a major concern, but I was looking at his stats and it seems like he's made a bit of a, he's not putting great, but he's not putting really bad anymore. You know, he's just not gaining. He's just not losing anymore. And I think he had a spike week at the Travelers even before missing the cut. So whatever that means, but in wind, you know, maybe once again, you're going to have that feel, you know, you can really see what Spieth can get up to on the greens there. And maybe he's not going to be having those 6 foot putts in the wind. You know, maybe I think that he's really good from further out. So that's one of my favorite plays in this range too. And then I'm a big fan of who else in this range. Joachim Niemann's going to be a really interesting play because he's got a lot of distance off the tee, which I really, really like. And then birdies and par five scoring, he's just really good in that range. And it seems like he's going to be a little less popular. And his short game's been firing up too lately too. So he's got a lot of the boxes he checks up. And that distance off the tee, I think, is going to be a big factor. He's one of the top 10 in the field in that. So I really like those two plays here. I think I'm going to mainly skip this range, if I'm being honest with you. I like a lot of guys in the seven. So definitely going to go to them over there.
Okay. let's just hop right in the sevens, man. I think we, Spieth's a great play. Also, like Niemann, got that really low ball flight and super long. I think I'm a little bit bigger on Fleetwood than you. Let's dive into the sevens. Talk to me a little bit about some guys that are sticking out down to you here. A lot of names that maybe U.S. golf fans aren't super familiar with. If you want to hop on some of those, and just give me your favorites in general in the 7Ks.
Yeah, I'm going to include Max Homa in the 7Ks because he's 8K on the money, and okay, I have him for an outright. I think he plays difficult golf course as well. He plays easy golf course as well, and he's just been playing fantastic golf lately. I think seven of his last 10 regular events, he's finished inside the top 20, and two of the ones that he didn't finish inside the top 20 were majors. So, you know, this isn't a major, so you can basically say, look, the guy's going to be definitely knocking on that top 20 finishing position again. And then Keegan Bradley is a guy I've just been on forever, and he's been playing such good golf with just not enough of that firepower on Sundays just to get him over the finish line. You know, I think he was in the mix at Brookline, and then the moment got too big to him. I think he played those first three holes, three over par every day or something crazy. Some weird stat, but Keegan Bradley, listen to this. Over the last 24 rounds, he's ninth on approach and he's fifth in putting in this field that's got a whole assortment of the world's best players. He's fifth in the field in the last 24 rounds putting, Keegan Bradley. So he's got distance off the tee. He's got accuracy off the tee. He's a really good approach player. He's really tidy around the greens. He's $7,900, maybe going to be less than 10% owned. And he's the fifth best putter in the field, Keegan Bradley.
And he's also got a three career top 20s in open championships. Hadn't played well lately in opens, but kind of the mid teens there, 2013, 14, 15, around in there. Had a really nice stretch of top 20s in opens. So, you know, it's possible for him to play well on this type of golf course.
Yeah, especially when I think the weather, you know, we saw that at the Wells Fargo. When the weather gets weird, he gets weird because he's a weird dude. He's very jumpy, very agitated, very fidgety. If it's windy, I think he's going to lose the jumpiness that he has. And I think he plays well in really tough conditions too. So I'm going to be all in on Keegan this week again. I really like his price. I like his ownership. I like his upside. And then I'll mention one or two more guys. Tyrrell Hatton is a very risky play, but I really like Tyrrell's long irons, and I think you're going to see a lot of those on this course. He's obviously a local Europeaner.
Just tough to ignore at this price tag, right?
Yeah. He's obviously got that upside, but he has not been playing well whatsoever lately. So hopefully we can get him at a good number, you know, ownership wise, and he's really a really good fit for this course. So if he can just keep his temperament in check, that's, you know, he's the complete opposite of JT Post. So, you know, we gotta make sure Tyrrell can keep it together, but I think maybe in England, he'll feel a little bit more at home. And then I really like Brian Harman too. He's a really good, he doesn't have that length off the tee, and I think that's going to be a reason why you can catch a really good leverage spot with him there. He plays par fives quite nicely, and he's also a really good long iron player. So those are my two guys I really like in the top of that 7K range there, for sure.
with you on taking a stab on Hatton. I think he's just interesting, a unique buy low spot. I mean, this is a guy that's won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship 2 times. As you mentioned, we'll be familiar with kind of the area, certainly familiar with Links Golf over there. And, you know, that can sometimes break guys out of slumps. Just been a little mini slump here lately, but 7,800, I certainly like the upside there. Couple guys kind of sticking out for me, Robert McIntyre, a young player that I really like. We don't have a chance to play him in DFS very often, and you know, outside of the majors, but he is from Scotland, has performed well in this event, and we've seen him perform well, you know, in tough fields, in these major championship like fields. Has a really good track record in the majors over the last couple of years. So McIntyre sticks out. Lucas Herbert's another player that's sticking out. Grades out first in this field in strokes gained putting over the last 24 rounds. Tremendous short game. Has played really well on this golf course and has flashed some form as of late. So I really like Lucas Herbert there at 7,600. You mentioned, or maybe before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about Bazadenhout. He's interesting. Aaron Rye at 7,400 is a former winner of this event, as is Minwoo Lee there at 7,300. Anybody sticking out to you down kind of the low 7K range, Byron?
Yeah, Maverick McNealy is a guy that was playing really well at the John Deere, and he's a really good driver of the golf ball, makes a lot of birdies, does well on the par fives. Love that about him. Sebastian Munoz as well, also a very good long iron player, can make a very quick amount of birdies in a row if you want him to, and does well on the par fives too. And then a little further down the list, I really do like Erik van Rooyen. If you want to go get a little frisky and a little dangerous, he's got that length, he's got that, you know, South Africans are also kind of used to this kind of, we have links golf courses in SA and we're used to that kind of stuff. And I'm pretty sure he'll be quite at home. They've obviously come through the European tour on the way to the PGA, so they've played their fair share on the Euro tour and are very accustomed to playing on these kinds of courses. So I really like EVR as well.
Yeah, EVR on this course specifically, man, T14 and a T6 in his 2 starts at the Renaissance Club. So obviously has shown a kind of an affinity for this layout. Tremendous ball striker. Yeah. We kind of already touched on that. That's something we're targeting this week in the windy conditions. So nice call on EVR there. I think we're kind of getting down to the point of the salary scale where we can start digging into some Euro guys and getting some really good numbers actually on some Euro Tour guys. As we move down into the sixes, Victor Perez really pops for me at 6,900. I don't know if you have any thoughts on him. I'm very intrigued at that price point with him. Has been a kind of a grinder, a veteran of the DP World Tour, has played extremely well throughout the season. Some nice course history here. So if you have any thoughts on Victor Perez there, chime in. But as we move on down, I think there are a couple other Euros. I'll kind of open it up to you if there's anybody you want to toss out down here, but some interesting plays available.
Yeah, Victor Perez has got great course history, and he's been, you know, I think his recent ball striking is also really good too. That's what's popping in my model compared to like what his baseline looks like. And he's really coming along nicely. And then you love to see a guy come kind of finding some good form, arriving at a course he's played well at. That's just a really good recipe for success. Love to see that. Kurt Kitayama is another guy that I think can hit it a country mile for a guy that doesn't necessarily seem like he's capable of that. And then Matt Wallace is another dude that's been playing really well back in Europe and then not necessarily that hot, you know, in the States. But I think going back there, I think he can kind of take advantage of what's going on with his vibes at you know, the Euro courses. And then Patrick Harrington is going to be a weird play because he's an old dude, but he's putting it out there, Joe.
You know? Yeah, I actually looked at him earlier today. It's really weird that you said his name because I did look into Patty Harrington a little bit today, and he's kind of interesting, honestly. coming off a we don't talk about the senior circuit very often, but coming off a win at the U.S. Senior Open, and we know his ability on links golf courses. So yeah, I do not hate it at all, especially like a GPP top dart throw there.
Absolutely, I think he's going to be a sneaky play.
Yeah, I think there's some other interesting guys down here. Anirban Lahiri at 67. Adrien Arnaud, the Spaniard, I'm sure I just butchered that name, 6,700. I think he's an interesting play. Has played really well, racking up top 10s left and right on the DP this year. So I think you can look at Arnaud there at 6,700. As you move on down, you got a Danny Willett kind of hiding around down there in the same vein as Patty Harrington, your boy Stu Sink, former Open champion, breaker of hearts, the Tom Watson year. Guido Migliozzi is a guy that's extremely inconsistent, but does have upside and seems to pop up in these kind of bigger events. Made a run. Was it at the PGA or US Open where he had a really nice run? Yeah. And then Callum Tarrant, I'm kind of surprised to see him down here at 6.3K. He's a guy that's played really well, played well at the US Open, played well at the John Deere last week. He's an Englishman, kind of coming back home, back to Europe, and kind of surprised to see him down there at 6,300. So, you know, that's a player that I'll be looking at in GPPs. Any of these other Euros, international players down here that you kind of want to toss out as guys you're considering this week?
Yeah, I'm going to just play a sentimental play. Daniel Fontonda is a guy I actually grew up playing a lot of golf with, and he is a grinder. He's got, you know, he's not the smartest guy in the world. He's not going to, you know, go out there and finish inside the top five, I don't think, but he's a sneaky, sneaky player down at the bottom here, and he's got a really good game for, I think, links golf courses. He can really control his ball flight really nicely, and he's got some good length too. And then got to go back to Stu Sink. I love a big, I'm a glutton for punishment when it comes to him. He's hurt me a few times, but I think he paid off at the last event where we played him. So that was helpful. And then Robert Streb is going to be an interesting play because he's really good on the par fives, and he's not a bad putter either. So at $6,200, Robert Streb is a guy that I think you can kind of sneak into your lineups and free up some cash space there.
Yeah, I was looking down there, kind of digging through some of these vets earlier today, and I don't know what's happened with Andy Sullivan. That guy was like a absolute print factory for multiple years on the Euro Tour, but looks like things have kind of went by the wayside here lately, so not sure really what's up with him. I was just surprised to see him down there at 6,100, but I've been out of the Euro Tour loop for a while, so not sure what's going on with Andy Sullivan's game. Let's toss out some darts and some hearts, Byron. Who's your toss a blindfold on, throw a dart at the dartboard, wild card play of the week? Give me your dart for the Genesis Scottish Open.
Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham, I like it.
Wyndham Clark, second longest drive of the golf ball in the field, and got a very tidy short game. If he can just kind of string it together with the irons, he's got all the tools. He's got all the tools. He's very, very long. So down in the $6,500 range, absolute dart. Can't say I've ever been on him that much, but I just really like how he fits this course. And he's been at the top of a few leaderboards lately too. I think he was at the top of RBC Canadian. So some things like that, just some good form coming into the event. I like that from him.
Yeah, he kind of, their games aren't similar at all, but kind of makes you think of like a JT Poston or a Billy Horschel. Just one of these guys that when they get it going, they really get it going. And as you mentioned, we've seen Wyndham Clark's name pop up a lot recently. And you mentioned the skill set, man, bombs it off the tee, can get hot with a putter. Pretty good combination on a golf course like we're going to see this week. I'll go Victor Perez at 6,900. I feel like he's a mid 7K guy that we're getting at a sub 7K price tag. So, you know, I'll take my chances. obviously going to be seeing stiffer competition than he's used to. But I look for him to play well this week. Give me your heart, man. Who is your heart kind of guiding you towards? Who's going to win this thing? You can pick anybody except Cam Smith.
Okay. I was going to say, you don't even have to ask me that question.
We got the non-Cam Smith real win effect.
Keegan Bradley. I'm going to say Keegan Bradley. I've got him for an outright, and he's been playing too good to not win a tournament anytime soon. I think this course just suits him, like we said. The putter for Keegan Bradley is the key, the secret, and it's firing right now, and I don't think a lot of people realize that still.
Yeah.
And, I mean, more people are as each week rolls by, but I love everything about Keegan this week. So.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on Keegan. I seem to always have mixed feelings on Keegan. I mean, I guess there's two ways you can look at it. If he's putting well, he's got a really good chance to win golf tournaments, as you mentioned, and that's kind of where we are right now. But I also wonder how sustainable it is. I think if we look at him throughout his career, I think it's kind of going to go back the other way at some point. And who knows when that'll be. But yeah, man, Keegan's really interesting at 7,900. I think there's definitely tournament winning upside there at a sub 8K price tag. So good call on Keegan. I don't really know. I'm kind of still working my way through this thing, man. It seems like it's a really, you know, maybe where we do this every week and we're kind of seeing the same guys week in, week out. It kind of throws you for a loop a little bit, seeing some of the names on the salary scale. We talked about the situation with the major championship looming ahead next week. This is a different type of golf for the majority of these guys that we see on the PGA Tour week in and week out. So I'm still kind of working my way through it. I mean, just blindly, I would say JT is pretty hard to fade at this point, man.
Yeah.
Two top tens in this event in his two starts. He's got all the tools, no weaknesses in his game. Terrific win player.
Terrific win player.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. I mean, I've been so impressed with Justin Thomas's just shot making ability. You know, if you want to call it that, his ability in the wind. It's been really impressive this year. We've seen a couple instances where he's really, I mean, go back to the PGA Championship, man. He was on the wrong side of the draw of that thing and still came through and won.
Had that Players' Championship.
Yeah, tremendous round at the Players in those horrible conditions. So, yeah, man, I'll toss JT out there.
I love it.
Pretty love tough it. To go against him. I want him to play well next week, man. I'd like to really see him contend for an Open. So hopefully he can – but he's the kind of guy that can – I mean, he could win this weekend next week.
Yep. Is it after or before where he's won back-to-back? I think he's done it a few times where he's won a major
He's won the week before a major several times. I can't remember if he's actually followed up with a major – I can't remember. Maybe that first PGA came on the heels of a win or close to one, but I know he's won the week directly prior to a major multiple times. Yeah. I'll take that for what it's worth. But anything else on the Scottish Open, Byron? We didn't touch on the Barbasol. we'll leave that to people that have had a little better days today.
Yep, someone with a good internet connection. We probably need some Barbasol in our life. Who knows? But
not far from me, up in Kentucky. Maybe I should try to emulate you and get up there this weekend.
Yeah, go check it out. Go pay $13 for a beer or two and have a good time up there. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's okay. Tell us a little bit about your work this week. Breaking 100. Where can we find that?
Breaking 100. That's going to be coming out tomorrow morning. It's a little behind schedule, but as with 4th of July, and I mean, I've been dealing with quarter end and things, so I'm a little behind, but I'll get that out tomorrow morning, and I'll probably be doing a breakfast podcast, Back 9 Bets, my usual podcast that I do on a Tuesday night at 6. Central. I'll be doing that in the morning too. It's just been a crazy few days, so kind of running behind the schedule. And that's pretty much it for the most part. You know, my Twitter's got some useful tidbits on there. I kind of put out a little thread every week where I grab the top 30 guys in each respective department or skill set and kind of, you know, put those out so you can see who shines in which departments. And yeah, that's about what all I've got going on this week, Joe. Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. We're looking forward to that. Check out Byron on Twitter. Catch his pod in the morning. And head over to RelloBaller.com for his Breaking 100 article this week and every other week. We got amazing content. I always kind of want to drop that in. I hope you'll visit RelloBaller.com. We have a premium package. We got the year's last major coming up. We want to get you prepped for that. We're diving into the Scottish Open this week. So head over to RotoBaller.com. You can use our promo code TURN, T-U-R-N, get 10% off for the rest of the season. So we hope you'll do that. Give us a like if you like the show. We got the Open Championship coming up next week. We're going to have put together a really nice show for you. We've been really blessed with the guests we've been able to have on, and really appreciate you taking the time, Byron. I know it's been a tough day, man. So thanks for being a trooper and filling in for AP this week.
Oh, not a problem. Always happy to join, Joe. And it was a great way to end the day. So I appreciate being on. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for checking out the Turn. Give us a like, give us a follow, check out Byron on Twitter and his articles over at rotoballer.com. We'll see you guys next week for St. Andrews in the Open Championship. So thanks for joining.
Already here, three in the lake. It's gonna drive me. It's gonna drive me.